Well, very briefly, just want to say, as we prepare to hear some testimonies, Psalm 105 calls us, says, remember the wonders he has done. To remember the wonders he has done, to reflect on all that God has done for us. And we love to do that here. And so on our first Sunday of the new year, we need to listen to a few testimonies. And so our first one is from Matt Wilson. You can come on up, Matt. Matt and his wife, Angie, have been attending since the end of September. And we've had lunch a couple times and just got to hear his story. And I thought, you might want to hear this.
Good morning, church. So yeah, my name is Matt Wilson. It's a pleasure to be here with you this morning. My wife, Angie, and I, and our daughter, Evelina, have been coming since about the end of September. I was able to attend Vinny's course on emotionally healthy spirituality at the Fridays, and I've gotten to know many of you through that experience, but that's needless to say, most of you I probably don't know. And so I was somewhat surprised when Pastor Joe asked me to share a testimony here this morning. I was eagerly volunteered, though. My wife and I both believe in the power of sharing the testimony, sharing God's faithfulness and power in our lives. And we've been greatly encouraged ourselves hearing others' faith journeys. And so I'm honored to have the chance to share that with you this morning. In Joshua chapter 4, right after the Israelites had finished crossing the Jordan River on dry ground, starting in verse 4, it says, "So Joshua called together 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe. And he said to them, 'Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of tribes of Israel, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the ark of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever.'" In our family, we like to talk about memorial stones and the importance of bringing our little stones out of our pocket and sort of reflecting on them. And the new year is definitely an appropriate time to do that. And so I'm honored to have the opportunity to share with you just a few of my own river crossings. So quickly, first, a little about me. I grew up in a Christian home. I prayed to receive Christ when I was 8 years old. I was baptized and did all the normal church kids things, VBS, Sunday school, youth camps, and the like. I went away, far away to college, though, and during those years, and really most of my early 20s, I would say were characterized by spiritual ups and downs, mostly downs. As I tried to make my childhood faith my own and exercise my own freedom and independence. And I'm going to spare you the details of that period, though, sufficing to say that a good portion of that time, I wasn't very obedient. I indulged the flesh and was very double-minded in my relationship with God. But thankfully, the Lord is faithful, and he's determined that none should escape his flock, including me. Amen. But the part of my life story that I want to share with you this morning began roughly 10 years ago when I began to seriously reflect on the kind of person I was becoming and the trajectory of my life. I'd finished an MBA and had a well-paying job in Baltimore. But shortly thereafter, I began to feel that God's call on my life was to leave my career and to pursue graduate studies in philosophy. Now, mind you, this wasn't totally out of the blue. I had minored in philosophy in college and loved it. And any time I was at a party and someone played the game, if you could do anything and money didn't matter, what would you do? I'd say I'd teach philosophy. But to actually do it, that was scary and much too costly. I mean, you've probably heard the job market for humanities professors isn't exactly roaring right now. And the sheer amount of time and energy and money it would take to do that was daunting. So it took about 6 years of praying and wrestling with the Lord from about 05 to 2011 when I finally mustered the faith and the courage to leave my career and enter graduate school. That beginning felt very much like Abraham in Genesis 12, when God told him to leave everything that was comfortable, his family, his people, his home, and to go to some place that he would show him. but where? Well, God didn't exactly tell him, and that felt very much like my journey too. So in the time remaining, I want to tell you about two particular experiences that happened to me along the way, two rivers that I crossed, so to speak, where God spoke to me and then delivered on his promise. The first was in 2012. I was attending Trinity Evangelical Divinity School in Chicago. I went there to get a master's in philosophy of religion because I figured that no PhD program in philosophy was going to take some corporate guy with a marketing MBA very serious. And so I figured I probably needed to prove myself, and if I was going to get a degree, well, I knew that philosophy was often hostile to Christian faith, so I thought, well, I ought to do it in a place that will be upbuilding for my faith. Well, that seemed like a great idea at first. It was until my second semester at Trinity that I realized they had like a 0% track record of placing people in PhD programs. And it also turned out that PhD philosophy programs didn't think very highly of seminaries, especially evangelical ones. I'd heard some horror stories of other students having to go and get second master's degrees in order to get into PhD programs. And so I kind of came to this crisis point where I thought, well, maybe I should leave the program and move over to Loyola Chicago. And then it happened. I came out of church on a cold Sunday morning in January and went into my car. And I felt the Spirit of the Lord come on me, and I became very emotional. I started crying. And he told me that he wanted me to stay at Trinity because he wanted me to know that he was the one who made the way. And he knew that if I left and did something else, I would think that it was on me. So at that time, he also brought a verse to my mind out of Isaiah chapter 45, which had been very instrumental in me even leaving my career to begin with. It's the story where Isaiah prophesies 200 years in advance of a Persian king named Cyrus that God raised to power in order to bring Israel back from exile and restore the temple. And there it says, "This is what the Lord says to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I take hold of to subdue nations before him, to open doors before him so that gates will not be shut. I will go before you and will level the mountains. I will break down gates of bronze and cut through bars of iron." God reminded me that he can cut through bars of iron and break the strongest barriers, and he wasn't sending me on this journey alone. So I stayed at Trinity, and don't get me wrong, I often doubted this word from the Lord and sometimes wondered if it was even real. But a year and a half later, I was one of four out of over 100 applicants that got accepted to Baylor's PhD program in philosophy. And there's much more to that story to say, but suffice it to say that God was the one who made the way. So that's my first memorial stone. It's a testimony that God goes before us, that if he calls you to something in this new year, that he'll make the way. Or if he called you to something and you're wondering where he is now, maybe it's a reminder that he's here with you. The second memorial stone is about 5 years later. It was 2017, and I was towards the end of my PhD program at Baylor. I had met my wife, Angie, and we had a daughter on the way, and I was starting to have a lot of anxiety about the job market. For several months, we had been having a number of stressful discussions about what was next for us. And Angie really didn't want to leave Waco. I'd seen a few of my classmates go through two or three academic job cycles without getting jobs. And I was spending all this time online looking at job postings instead of writing my dissertation. And underneath all that anxiety were questions and thoughts like, well, you know, what if I don't get in a job in philosophy? Like, what will this all mean? I knew I wasn't as good as even some of my classmates. I mean, how am I ever going to get a job? What if the only job is available at some terrible place to live? And I think underneath all that anxiety betrayed sort of an underlying belief or attitude that I was on my own again. And I had struggled for a long time with what some call an orphan spirit, which is basically a kind of posture or attitude of the heart that believes that one is just alone, that God's not there. And So it was on the morning of Sunday, January 7th, 2017, when God broke through and spoke to me in a very profound way again. My wife and I were leading a small group at our church, and they had these monthly life group leader meetings that I never liked to attend. And so I was standing at the back of the room, sort of annoyed I was there. It was towards the end of the meeting, and I decided to sneak out and go and finish out worship. And I was just standing there worshiping the Lord, and he just spoke to me, and he said, "You can stop looking for jobs. I will bring the job to you." What? I mean, what did that mean? Nothing more. He didn't say anything more than that. Just, "I will bring the job to you." And I have to tell you, I was very puzzled by this. Surely I have to at least send in an application. I mean, the job market is such that they put these online postings and you send them your CV. I didn't know what to make of it. It gave me some hope, though. And the spring and the summer passed, and I was working hard on my dissertation. And then in early August, I got this email from someone at Harvard University asking me if I would be interested in a position. They were looking for someone with a PhD in philosophy and who also had managerial experience and who could help run an academic program at Harvard called the Human Flourishing Program. Not by coincidence, it turned out that the guy who emailed me was a man named Jeff Hansen, who I had met by sheer coincidence back in 2012 at a conference. I think he's one of two or three people I maybe met at that conference, certainly the only one I remember. And it just so happened that he happened to know my dissertation advisor, and they were talking about this opportunity, and my name had come up. So within a few weeks, Angie and I were flown out to Boston. I interviewed for the job, and well, the rest is history. But can you believe it? God brought me the job. I didn't apply to a single job. I know friends, literally, who apply to 70 or 80 jobs trying to get, you know, academic posts at places, and sometimes multiple years in a row. And God just brought this to me and set it on my lap. And the amazing thing is, he told me he would. So I don't know how many of you have recently checked the Harvard website, but there's not a lot of PhDs from Baylor University there. So I'm not here because I deserve it. I'm here because of the Lord. And of course, that's not the end of the story. Angie and I, we got here in May, and the adjustment has been difficult and challenging at times. And I still don't know exactly why God has brought her here, or what his full plans or purposes are for us. But you know, we want to live like Abraham. We want to follow God to the places that he will show us. And we know, though, that he goes with us, he goes before us. And so I hope that's an encouragement to you all today. Those are just two of my memorial stones of rivers that he's dried up in front of me. We do have many more stories, though, like that, and we look forward to getting to know you all in the months ahead. So with that, I'll just hand it over. Thank you.
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it. Great. Awesome. Great. We'd love to hear those kinds of stories. And I do have to say, since I minored in philosophy, one of my friends, he said, me, you, and Dan should probably get those shirts that say, "It's okay, I have a philosophy degree." And that always works. When your car is broke down on the side of the road, it's good to know that somebody there has a philosophy degree. There you go.